Hey, tailgaters! Ross of the Pigskin Tales Podcast here. Feel that summer heat? It's not just the sun, it's the thrill of upcoming college football season, stoking the coals. So get ready for the season. Dive into the history books with Homefield, the premium collegiate apparel brand from Indianapolis. Homefield crafts incredibly comfortable gear designed with iconic vintage nods over 150 colleges. A library of history right on your chest. Homefield is the Indiana Jones of collegiate apparel, uncovering hidden gems from school archives. Unique mascots, logos, and even unforgettable moments frozen in time. Visit homefieldapparel.com and shop the archives. Homefield Apparel, where comfort, nostalgia, and the spirit of college football history unite. Again, that's homefieldapparel.com.
It was the famous coach Pop Warner that once said, "You cannot play two kinds of football at once, dirty and good. You play the way you practice." Well, in today's football history headlines, we're going to talk about slinging Sammy Baugh, tossing for 6 touchdowns, some great Iron Bowl game matchups, and 3 memorable CFL Grey Cup championships were all played on this day. And the football history headlines coming up right after this. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Nuff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the November 23rd edition of the Football History Headlines. In this edition, we are going to cover 3 centuries worth of American football history. So let's get right at it. We'll start off on November 23rd, 1887. The Notre Dame football program plays its very first football game. It was a respectable showing for the first-timers as they lost to Michigan 8-0. It was the start of one of the most storied sports teams in all of football history. November 23rd, 1895 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Alabama and Auburn met for the 4th time in what became the Iron Bowl game. This edition was all Tigers as they blanked their rivals 48-0 in this early college football contest. 1947 was a November 23rd anniversary, Griffith Stadium, Washington, D.C., of slinging Sammy Baugh, the Washington Redskins, taking advantage of the Chicago Cardinals' secondary as he tossed for 6 touchdown passes. Washington won the game 45-21. Now we have a solemn headline from November 23rd, 1963. The Notre Dame versus Iowa game was canceled due to the untimely death of President John F. Kennedy. November 23, 1965, in New York City, the 31st Heisman Trophy Award was handed out. For this season, the selection committee chose Mike Garrett, the running back from the USC Trojans, as the nation's top college football award winner. November 23, 1975, at McMahon Field in Calgary, the CFL Championship game was played for the possession of the coveted Grey Cup. On this date, it was appropriate that the Edmonton Eskimos were in the game as the weather conditions at kickoff were minus 15 degrees Celsius with 25 mph winds per the CFL.ca webpage. Interesting note that despite the cold, a woman was seen streaking without a stitch of clothing on across a field before the coin toss. That makes me shiver just thinking about it. Those poor conditions helped prevent either team from scoring touchdowns, which was the 3rd time in Grey Cup history that no TDs had occurred. It was the Edmonton Eskimos who came out on top as they defeated the Montreal Alouettes 9-8. One of the other interesting tidbits from this Grey Cup game was that it was the first time since 1945 that all the points were scored by Canadians in this first Grey Cup championship that was played in the city of Calgary. November 23, 1980 at CNE Stadium in Toronto. The 1980 version of the CFL's Grey Cup was played. What happened was that the Edmonton Eskimos claimed their 3rd straight title as they punished the Hamilton Tiger Cats 48-10. November 23rd, 1989 at Texas Stadium in Irvin, Texas. After the Thanksgiving Day contest between the Dallas Cowboys and the visiting Philadelphia Eagles, Coach Jimmy Johnson accused the Eagles head man, Buddy Ryan, of issuing bounties on Cowboy players. I'm not sure if he did or not, but the Philadelphia Eagles rolled their longtime foes on national television by the score of 27-0. November 23, 1991, at Brigham Young University, quarterback Ty Detmer unleashed the Cougars' offensive firepower as he led his team to a 48-17 blowout over the Utah Utes, per the CougarsStats.com internet page. Detmer's 378 yards passing and 5 touchdowns helped the signal caller complete a fantastic college career. Detmer finished his NCAA career with 15,031 yards for his career and a record 4,031 yards passed on the season. Next, let's talk about a couple Iron Bowl games that were played on this November 23rd. The first one took place in 1996 at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. It was the 61st edition of the Iron Bowl, and it was a thriller. The Crimson Tide would score a fourth quarter go-ahead touchdown to hang on as Alabama beat Auburn 24-23. Longtime coach Gene Stallings announced that after the game that he would be stepping down at the conclusion of the season. Then we go 6 years in advance on November 23rd, 2002, at Tuscaloosa, Alabama this time. It was the 67th segment of the Iron Bowl, and it was a freshman reserve running back, Trey Smith, who stepped up off the bench for the Tigers and put up 126 yards on the ground to help the Auburn Tigers cause against the number 9 in the nation, Alabama. ESPN.com reports that the Tigers also used 2 scoring strikes from Jason Campbell to Robert Johnson to help Auburn upset Alabama 17-7. November 23, 2008 at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. The second highest fan-attended Grey Cup game in history of the CFL took place as 66,308 put their butts in the stands. According to the GreyCup.com website, it was at Calgary Stampeders that reigned as the champs as they beat the Montreal Alouettes 22-14 in the game. Calgary quarterback Henry Burris was named the game's Grey Cup's most valuable player as he threw for 328 yards and 1 touchdown and led the game's rushing with 79 yards. Stampeders kicker Sandro DeAngelis was the Grey Cup's most valuable Canadian award as he kicked 5 field goals in the game. Gridiron guys and girls, we want to hear about how you feel about the show. We want you to contact us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook at the Pigskin Dispatch. Give us an IM on there. And check us out on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. So again, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Now here's a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
Now, how about we talk about some Hall of Famers and their birthdays on this November 23rd? And let's start off in the year 1916 on that date. Little Rock, Arkansas, Kevin Cavanaugh, the end from LSU, arrived into this world. Louisiana State University used the single-wing offense during the 1930s, and that normally means low stats for a receiver. But this was not the case for the talented Cavanaugh, as he and Tigers passer Leo Bird connected often in the passing game. The NFF states that Cavanaugh snared 30 Bird throws in 9 games, netting 467 yards to lead the nation's receivers in 1939 and the Most Valuable Player Award in the Southeastern Conference. The National Football Foundation inducted Kevin Cavanaugh into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1963. After college, Cavanaugh joined the Chicago Bears. His pro career in the Windy City was briefly interrupted as he served in the U.S. war efforts as a bomber pilot, and he flew over 30 missions over Germany. Ken was a true war hero, and for his bravery, he was issued the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Air Medal with 4 oak clusters. After the war, he rejoined the Bears to continue a brilliant career. In 1951, he became an assistant coach with the New York Football Giants. November 23, 1930, in Waumee, Ohio, Princeton University's prize halfback Dick Kazmir was born. Dick played for Princeton from 1949 through the 1951 season, per the footballfoundation.org's website. He started at left halfback for Princeton's single-wing attack. Kazmir was honored with All-American accolades in 1950 and 1951. Dick led all players in the nation in total offense in 1951 with his gaudy 827 yards and 22 touchdowns and the incredible 626 passing percentage. After this incredible 1951 season, the United Press named him the Player of the Year, and Kazmir also won the Heisman and the Maxwell Trophies. Dick Kazmir was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1966. And after graduation, the prolific player turned down playing in the pros and continued getting his education with a master's degree from Harvard. Dick did many things after college, and one was that he served as the National Football Foundation's director and president from 1974 through 1986. Dick was awarded with the NCAA Silver Anniversary Award, and the National Football Foundation honored him with the Distinguished American Award. November 23, 1937, Leechburg, Pennsylvania, that was the place that Alex Kroll, the center that played both for Yale and Rutgers, celebrated his birth. According to the National Football Foundation, Kroll had a sensational 1961 season as he was named an All-American center by the Associated Press, United Press International, Newspaper Enterprise Association, and the American Football Coaches Association, along with the Football Writers Association. The Rutgers team that captained that year was a perfect 9-0 that season. Alex had first played college football at Yale in 1956, but due to serving his country for a few years in the military, his college career was put on hold for a few years until he attended Rutgers. Despite attending more than one school, the teams that Alex Kroll played on had a combined record of 25 wins and 2 losses. The National Football Foundation inducted Alex Kroll into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. After he completed his education, Kroll played one professional season with the AFL's New York Titans. That, my friends, is how you cover over 3 centuries worth of football history news and the football history headlines, as we started in the 1880s of November 23rd and ended in the 2000s. On November 24th edition tomorrow, don't forget to join us as we'll talk about Jim Brown tallying 237 yards on the ground with 4 touchdowns in 1 game and also discuss 9 Grey Cup championship games for the CFL. All coming up tomorrow, so subscribe. Touch base with us at pigskindispatch.com or on the Sports History Network, where you can find this podcast and many more on sports history that you'll enjoy. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. Hope you enjoyed another nostalgic episode here on the Sports History Network. By now, you've heard us rave about 2 books, The Golf Round I'll Never Forget, and NBA 75, The Definitive History. Have you snagged your copies yet? If so, well, we applaud you for great taste. But if you haven't, well, listen up, because our generous partners over at Firefly Books are giving away a free copy of each book to one of our dedicated fans. To enter the giveaway for your chance at winning one of these awesome books, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Good luck, and remember, you can come back daily to earn more entries. Hey there, sports history fan. Hope you enjoyed another nostalgic episode here on the Sports History Network. By now, you've heard us rave about 2 books, The Golf Round I'll Never Forget and NBA 75, The Definitive History. Have you snagged your copies yet? If so, well, we applaud you for great taste. But if you haven't, well, listen up, because our generous partners over at Firefly Books are giving away a free copy of each book to one of our dedicated fans. To enter the giveaway for your chance at winning one of these awesome books, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Good luck, and remember, you can come back daily to earn more entries.